You get to read the monthly newsletter that gets sent out, and I don't mean to give the wrong impression here, but I hope that many of you read all of the articles, because it may be that some of you will recognize something that I'm about to say. And that's quite deliberate, because I would like to expand and explain a little bit more of something that I was sharing in January's newsletter. In 1999, Emma and I moved to Northern Ireland. And it was well, I think for both of us and all of us, because both our children were born in Northern Ireland, it was an interesting and enjoyable experience. 4.5 years or so that we spent there. And we moved initially to a town called Enniskillen. Enniskillen is the main town of County Fermanagh. And in County Fermanagh, there are a lot of lakes. It's considered maybe the Lake District of Ireland. There's just lakes everywhere. And Ireland is not known as a green island for nothing. They have a good fair share of sunshine and rain. And rain. And rain. And so there's always a lot of green countryside around, and being lots of lakes everywhere in County Fermanagh, and raining quite a lot, there is a local expression that for 6 months of the year, the lakes are in Fermanagh. And for the other 6 months of the year, Fermanagh is in the lakes. Such as the amount of water that that we would get. But there in County Fermanagh, there is two very large lakes, Loch Earn, Upper Loch Earn and Lower Loch Earn. And very nice countryside, beautiful. If you want to go anywhere, then I would definitely recommend a trip to Ireland, and County Fermanagh is beautiful. Two lakes, joined by this river that eventually makes its way out to the sea. The two lakes and the river that connects the two lakes goes through Enniskillen, the town of Enniskillen. And interestingly, in Enniskillen, the river separates and goes round a little island, joins at the other side and carries on. Now, if you look at the map, a north-south looking map, like we would normally look at the map, it's not particularly an Irish thing here, but Lower Loch Earn is at the top, and Upper Loch Earn is at the bottom, as you look at it at the map. There is a perfectly natural explanation there. This isn't some sort of strange thing. It's because the river runs from a southerly to a northerly direction. So, of course, Upper Loch Earn is at the top end of the river and Lower Loch Earn is down the bottom. Now, in Lower Loch Earn, there is a number of islands. I believe that they say there's an island for every day of the year. But there is a fairly large island there, Boa Island. And on this island, there is an ancient burial ground. And they say somewhere, I mean, this doesn't seem to be very pinpoint accuracy, but somewhere between 400 and 800 AD is when this burial ground was used. And in that burial ground now, although it's believed that this stone has been moved, is a stone that stands about kind of almost my waist height. And on this stone, there are carvings. On one side is a carving of someone's face and a human kind of figure. And on the other side is the carving of someone's face, a human figure. Faces on both sides. Now, this stone has, I believe, Gaelic connections and so on, but it has got its name not from anything Gaelic, but from a Roman reference. And this stone is called the Janus stone, from the Roman god Janus, who also is depicted of having two faces on one head. Looking backwards and looking forwards. Janus, where we eventually, because the Romans had 10 months in the year, not 12, but eventually when things settled down, from where we get the name January, Janus. Do you get it? Almost one or two maybe nodding. But Janus was the god, the Roman god of beginnings, gates, transitions, time, doorways, passages, and endings. Janus. Beginnings and endings. Well, it's not quite the beginning of the year still, is it? We're pretty much almost a 12th of the year all the way through. But it's the end of January, so I kind of feel as though I can give reference to the story again. Beginnings and endings. An opportunity to look back and an opportunity to look forward. And that's what we're going to do by way of our communion service today. It's an opportunity to look back at what Jesus has done for us, as well as an opportunity to look forward to what Jesus will complete when he returns. But as we approach this ordinance, this communion service, and before that we will participate in maybe what seems to be a strange enactment of washing people's feet, and I'll give some explanation of that in just a moment. I would like for you to turn your Bibles open to Isaiah chapter 1. Thinking about looking back and looking forward. Notably, which direction are we looking in? You see, in Isaiah chapter 1, we have eventually maybe a verse that many people are familiar with. Maybe some of you have got this particular verse on a plaque or a written inscription somewhere on the wall, and we know it, and we will get to it. But it comes in a situation of context. You see, Isaiah chapter 1 doesn't start off very well. Isaiah is asked to bring this message to the people of God in Israel. And if we pick up this message, we see in verse 1, "Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth." This is a proclamation from Isaiah. "For the Lord has spoken." Right, what has the Lord said? Are we all ready? Are we all ready to listen to what the Lord has to say? "I reared children and brought them up, and they have rebelled against me." Pardon, God? I mean, this was a message to God's people. And what does Isaiah say? This is what the Lord has to say. Okay, we're ready, Isaiah. What does the Lord have to say? "I have reared children and brought them up, and they have rebelled against me." Oops. Okay, does it get any better? "The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manager, sorry, his owner's manger, but Israel does not know, my people do not understand. Is this a good message from God? Are we a little bit nervous sitting here, hearing this? When I ask a question, you're quite free to nod or shake your head. It helps keep you awake. Makes me know that you're awake. It doesn't read very well, does it? The message from God to his people saying, look, you're my children, but you're not behaving properly. And then he does this analogy thing of cattle and donkeys seem to be more obedient than what we are, or at least let's keep it to them at the moment, shall we? Because that sounds a little bit too personal if we point the finger at ourselves. Even cattle and donkeys are more obedient to their master and know their master better than what God's people do. But I thought they were doing the right thing. I thought they were enacting the right thing. I thought they were coming to church. I thought they were participating in communion and doing all the right things and the way that God asked of them to be able to worship. Well, let's see, shall we? Because it talks about rebellion and persistent rebellion in the following verses. And then it says in verse 10, it says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, listen to the law of the law of God, you people of Gomorrah. It's given some other previous reference in the other verse of Sodom and Gomorrah and the likening of if it wasn't for a few good people, then the people of God, the city of God, would have been just like Sodom and Gomorrah, would have been just wiped out. I thought these were the people of God. I thought these were the people that said that this is who they choose to follow. Is it possible that they enact something, but all the time they just don't understand and know the God that they are enacting for? And if it happened then, is it possible that it can happen now? Verse 11, Isaiah chapter 1, says, the multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? But I thought the Lord asked the people to bring sacrifices. They meant something. They represented something. They represented their need of a Savior, their sinful lives, and their need of God. But God is now saying, look, these sacrifices, this enactment that you're doing, they mean nothing to me. What's gone wrong? Is it possible for us to act something through, but actually we've missed out on knowing God? Multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come and appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Well, I thought God was asking of these things. This is what you're supposed to do when you've done something wrong. But God is pointing out, don't do it just as an act. Do it because you know me. And therefore you recognize your need of me. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Am I giving this enough effect? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations. I cannot bear your evil assemblies, your new moons, festivals, and your appointed feasts. My soul hurts. This was the message from God about their acts of worship. Could it be that we too can come and act out worship? And all the time, God just doesn't want this act. He wants to know us and us to know him. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. This was God saying this to his people. But why was God saying I won't listen? Because I'm sick and tired of your acting out without you coming to get to know me. God's hungering and desire is to restore this broken relationship between us and him. And it's no good just acting something out. What God desires more than anything is for us to come to him, to get to know him. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Here's God's invitation. There's an opportunity of restoration. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. What were the evil deeds that God was talking about? This going through the actions without having a faith relationship with God. Take them away. Take them away. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. And then we get a glimpse of what God asks of us. What really doing right, what enactments we can really do to find and seek God's favor. He says in verse 17, seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. I thought God wanted us to bring a fattened animal and through that old sacrificial service and so on. I thought God wanted this. But he did, but he wanted it from your heart. But more than anything, what God wants for us is to stop performing the act and to start looking out for each other as well as looking out for God. Seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. It's all about those people in need. That's what God desperately wants for us. Stop acting things out. Start looking out for other people. That's the context that God then goes on to say, and these are the verses maybe you're more familiar with. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Does this sound familiar? Remember the context in which it is said. God is desperate for you to stop acting things out, for you to come to know him, to understand who he is. And then he says, once you do that, once you settle that, once you get that in line, then he says, come. What an invitation. God doesn't want to exclude us or, you know, because of our wrong things in the past, say, no, but I don't want to know about you anymore. God says, I know. Things haven't been rightly aligned before. But as you come to get to know me, as you look out for other people, he says, come. Let's talk about it. Let's reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. This is all a description of what God will do for us. It's not what we earn. It's what God will do for us when we approach him in the right way, when we're ready to say, Lord, I'm sorry for my wrong motives in the past. I want to get to know you. I want to help other people because that's what you want of me. So as we are still just about in January, as we think about things in the past, as we think about what Jesus has done for us, let's look forward to what Jesus will do for us in completion when he returns, and how we can better respond to him now, not just going through the motions, but seeking God, because that's what our desire of our heart is all about. And that in turn will mean that we will want to look out for other people. It's time for a new you. It's time to look back. It's time to look forward. And it's time to look up.